What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hey everybody. It's another episode of What's for Dinner. What's for dinner? I don't know yet. Probably turkey, because it's Thanksgiving week, everybody. Thanksgiving. And I am giving thanks right now. One, that you're listening. That's a big thing to be give thank for. To give thank for? I can't even talk right now. I'm actually here in the living room / studio all by myself, folks. It is a solo episode this week. Although Allison should be coming in any second now from work. And I told her that, I was going to do a podcast, but then I know she's going to get ready for Thanksgiving dinner. We're having an early Thanksgiving dinner earlier in the week, or she calls it Delishmas. And I said, yeah, I was going to do a podcast, but then she was coming home and I didn't want to get in her way. But then I'm like, shit, I got to get something done. So it's uploaded tomorrow in time for you to hear this. So she's going to walk in and most likely, through silence, give me a very glaring look of, what the fuck, you said you weren't going to do this now. That just goes to show, folks, at this point, I care more about you than I do about my wife. Although, if she ever hears this, I'm just kidding, honey. But yes, it's Thanksgiving week, everybody. And if you're listening to this overseas, it's just another Tuesday. But here in the States, it is Thanksgiving week. And this is a time that we're supposed to give thanks for all the things we have, which is stupid because you should really be grateful for that every day. You know, actually, today I was going to the post office and I saw a really horrific car accident. Like, it was bad, you know, and just at that moment, it put everything in perspective. We all have our problems. We all have issues. We all have complaints, you know. I gotta get up and go to work today, or oh shit, I got 3 bills in the mail and blah 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 blah. And then you see something like that, and this was like bad. Like I didn't see any of the victims, but I saw one car was like wrapped around a pole and the other one was like overturned in the middle of the highway, and you could tell it was bad. And immediately, like, all my problems just went away, really, because they're not problems. They're part of life, you know, right now. And it's little shit, like just bills and trying to get more work booked, which I always eventually do, but I still freak myself out beforehand. But I saw this car accident and I started thinking, like, shit, that's something that just messed somebody up forever. I mean, 2 people's lives are forever changed, because hopefully everyone survived. But you know that there's going to be, there has to be some, just some kind of, you know, hospitalization involved. I guess you can walk away from an accident like that, but it's highly unlikely that both parties, you know, got out of it unscathed. So there's, you know, there's hospital bills, insurance, probably lawsuits, not to mention the families of each people now having to watch somebody they care about suffer, and like their entire life in an instant was changed. And I was bitching about having some bills to pay. It just really, and that puts everything in perspective. And that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I am healthy and that I have a wonderful wife. And as I'm saying this right now, one of my cats is sitting on my lap just kneading my leg. And the simple things that I really take for granted. Sometimes you just got to sit back, pause your life for a minute, look at where you are and go, fuck, I'm lucky. Things could be a lot worse. And I know for a lot of people, it is. You know, actually, we were just in New York. I was there for the Andy Kaufman Award, which I'll talk about in a minute. But it's amazing. New York, at least the parts that we were at, which was pretty much Manhattan and the outlining areas, we didn't see any damage from Hurricane Sandy. All we really saw, I saw 1 street sign that was kind of bent, and there was just a lot of trash that needs to be picked up because the sanitation hasn't been able to run. But aside from that, there was no flooding. There was, you know, the subways that we took were all running. And I know there were still some subways out and still some people without power, which was really sad and everything. But where we saw, everything was cleaned up. Like, New Yorkers, you guys are really resilient, man. You guys just, you bounce back. You're like, fuck it, what are we going to do? Sit in our own shit and stew? Nah, we got pizza to make. We got shit to do, people. So my hat's off to the good people in New York. You know, sometimes it takes a disaster to bring people together, as we learned, my God, 11 years ago. 9/11 was 11 years ago. Wow. Man, this is starting out as a really fucking depressing podcast. Holy shit. You know what the problem is, people? I very stream of conscious when I talk, and I get one thing on my mind, and I just go from there, and it leads to the most obscure, stupid, random things. You know what help? Email me. People, email me anything. I've gotten some nice emails about how people like the podcast, but email me questions. Email me things you want to talk about, you want to hear about. You know, most of the time I have guests on here, so they're going to like having something to kind of work off of, because, you know, I'm gonna talk to you guys for like an hour or so, and it'd be nice to have something to talk about as opposed to just this depressing shit that's on my mind right now. God, why am I so depressed? I'm not depressed. Let me take that back. I am not depressed. It's just there was something that happened today that kind of put me in an introspective mood that happened to have been at somebody else's depressing day. Somebody else's depression has made me grateful for what I have, but it still is coming off a little depressing. And oh, by the way, incidentally, total change of subject. You might notice that you're still getting this podcast on my regular feed on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever you're hearing this on. I still am going to be going to the GoCast network. We had stupidly thought about or put it down that we were going to start this week on a Wednesday. And then we realized, wait a minute, that's Thanksgiving. Not going to work. So we'll actually be starting next week, the week after Thanksgiving, Wednesdays. Wednesdays on the GoCast network, live, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So set your calendars, mark it down. Because, as I mentioned in last week's very short podcast, I will occasionally be doing a podcast and uploading it through this feed. But starting next week, it should all start be going to the GoCast network. Although after I start next week, almost immediately, I'll be off for a month because I'm going to Florida with Allison for the holidays and for New Year's. And if you are in Florida in December, you can check me out in Sarasota at McCurdy's, in Atlanta at the Punchline, and New Year's Eve, Allison and I will both be working at Tootsie's Cabaret in Miami, which is a strip club, and it will actually be Skippy Green working there, and Allison will be dancing. I'm kidding. Allison, they're actually having a comedy competition at the strip club, so she's in the competition, and Skippy Green is headlining. And is that a perfect relationship? Husband and wife working at a strip club together for New Year's. God. Never thought I'd actually have to... I never actually say that in my life. Yes, my wife and I will be working at a strip club on New Year's. Because, you know, I've been to strip clubs many times. I don't think I've ever worked a strip club. But being a comedian, you frequent these strip clubs. But never did I actually think I would have a wife who, A, would, you know, willingly want to go with me to a strip club, and B, would actually be working with me at a strip club and not stripping. I have dated strippers. Well, dated is a pretty broad term. I've had the acquaintance of a few strippers in my younger days. Doesn't fit my personality, does it? Flip Schultz, banging the strippers. Flipper and the stripper. Yeah, I did. It was, God, my youth. When did I get old? I just had a birthday couple weeks ago. So when you get into your mid to late 30s, you start kind of, or I should say, I just started looking back at my life, where I am now, where I've come from, and I'm pretty happy. But you look back at everything and all these times that you think were like these epic moments, now just to me, they feel like an episode of a TV show, you know? Like, there was a girl that I dated, like a real girl, not a stripper. And I fell very much for her, like really fell for her. And she fucking broke my heart. And when I say it took years, I mean literally years to get over it completely. Like, just, I remember being depressed. I remember being in the deepest, darkest point of my life that I've been in. Like, if you've ever experienced this, my listener friends, you know that darkness, that place where you're in your bedroom, the lights are off, you don't want to get out of bed. You just keep replaying moments over and over again, and maybe you see the person with somebody else because you know they're dating somebody else now, and it just tears you apart. It literally breaks your heart. And I remember going through that. I remember that it happened, but I don't remember the epicness of it, the epic scale that it was. I don't remember those, holy shit, collectively 5 or 6 years of starting to date her and then breaking up and then going through that withdrawal and that pain. I don't remember the grand scale of it. I just remember moments, like I said, episodes of a TV show. And I remember, like, oh, that time when I did that over her. Or there was that other time that I was thinking this. But all those moments in between those two times, there were a lot of moments in between them. And I don't remember the moment specifically. I just remember those couple times and nothing, and not the moments in between, if that's making sense to you. And it's just funny looking back at all that. And again, knowing that it did happen, but forgetting just how long it was. And because I'm happy now. I mean, if I didn't have Allison, I'd probably be still calling her, to be honest with you. Probably still emailing. So maybe when I come back to Florida, we can meet up. Yeah, this specific girl I'm talking about, Florida girl. And I haven't spoken to her in almost 2 years. I haven't heard from her in almost 2 years. And I remember years ago, I could not imagine going 2 years without I could not imagine going a week without talking to this girl, let alone 2 years. Just shows you how time really does heal the wounds. It really does. That cliche, it's probably in the top three cliches. Time heals all wounds. And when you're going through that pain, oh, you can't imagine ever being past it. You can't imagine ever feeling good again, feeling whole. But then time does just go. And you have no choice but to get over it in whatever way you can. Some people have a really hard time getting over it. I think my journey through that was probably normal. Like, 4 or 5 years, 5 or 6, maybe a little above normal. I don't know. Okay, maybe a little above normal. I don't think most people take that long to get over a short relationship. It really was literally a very short relationship. It lasted 8 months. 8 months. And of those 8 months, the last two were not that great. So really 6 months of happiness. Took me almost 6 years to get over. What can I say? I'm a passionate guy. You know what it was? Can I be honest? Why not? It wasn't so much that I was so in love with her that I couldn't live without her and all of that, you know. Don't get me wrong, that was part of it. But I think another part of it was knowing that I lost. Sounds fucked up, but it's kind of me. It's kind of how I am. Just knowing that I didn't win the girl. I mean, don't get me wrong. In the end, I'm the biggest winner of all. I got Allison. But at the time, it seemed like she was the prize, and I didn't win, and I hate losing, and it's just like years, I just wanted to just woo her and win her back, and I don't know, that might be an issue of mine. Any of you guys get like that? Is that normal? To just want to win? Want to... I don't know. Maybe it's because... I mean, she was beautiful. She was pretty hot. And that was, I'm sure, part of it, too. If she wasn't as attractive, who knows if I would have been as eager to win her back. And again, that sounds incredibly dickish, I understand. But look, I'm going to be honest. When I was younger and I was dating, not a lot of good-looking women were interested in me. This before I was really into comedy full-time. So when this happened, I was like, oh, my God. I got the hot girl on the, you know, it was like that 80s movie where the nerd gets the cheerleader. It was like, yay! And life isn't like Revenge of the Nerds. It's not like an 80s movie. There's depression after the credits. You know, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't think if she was as hot as she was, I really would have been as adamant and pursuing as I was. Because she really, really did a fucking number on me, man. Really hurt bad. It's one of those things where you look back at it and you're like, how could I have been that stupid and blind and had such little self-worth that I let somebody treat me like that? I let her treat me like that. And then kept going back for more. Actually, on my second CD, if you have my second CD, which is, it's called Ribbed for Your Pleasure, Extra Jubricated. I did it through a label called Laugh.com. And I'll be honest, of my five CDs that I have out now, it's my least favorite, only because it was, I was really going through this, this change comedically, and it was kind of a dark album, specifically for this track. It's a like 6-minute track called Why Relationships Suck. And it's pretty much all about her, all about this one girl. And there's this one part of it that it was a joke that I called emotional S&M, where basically it was that. It was I kept going back for more, despite the fact that this girl was ripping my heart out. I thought, fuck, if I just keep my mouth shut and let her do this, then she'll respect me. What a backwards way of fucking thinking, man. Yeah, that's how you win women over. I have no backbone. Now you want to be with me? Walk all over me. Why don't you? I'll keep coming back for more. Then you'll learn. Oh, so stupid. So stupid. Why do we do that? It's hormones. It's love. Oh, here she is. Hi. She's on the phone right now. Yeah, oh, she's on the phone with her mom.
Hi, Mom, I love you.
Hi, honey. I know I said I wouldn't do it, but I had to.
It's okay.
It's okay. How you doing? What's that? No. My contacts are dry, I swear to... She asked me if I was stoned. Trust me, if I was stoned, this podcast, I would still be talking about Cheetos. Hi, honey. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Hi, everybody out there in podcast land. I just got home.
I was just talking about past relationships.
Oh, how glorious they all are, aren't they?
They all suck. Oh. I'm so glad I got you. Come here, give me a hug.
Aww.
Give me a hug, baby.
Huggies on the air, yay!
We're hugging on the air. We're the most disgusting couple ever.
Oh, gosh, you don't have to tell me, I know.
I know you know. No, comedians always say, like, we're the cutest comedy couple out there.
Aw, thanks.
What do you, I didn't say it, I said other comedians said it.
Well,
well, you know it was said. You heard it. Do you want a microphone or do you just want to watch me babble?
I'll take a mic, whatever.
Okay, well, here, Toyota, you use this one and talk for a second. I'll get you another one.
Yes, just getting home from a long day. I don't know if anybody out there knows. I have an interesting job. I'm a medical professional, I'd like to consider. I specialize in the medicinal marijuanas, and I know that everybody here is probably aware of my smoking during some of the particular episodes, but that is technically my job. I help people find the medicinal marijuana that would work for them, and we've touched on this in the past. I have a little bit of a back issue, which has helped way more than pills do. So if people out there are in any sort of pain and they're getting lost down the pharmaceutical route, please know that you don't have to, that sometimes it's just mind over matter along with some good distraction aid and, yeah, amongst other things. But yes, all my kitten is here saying hello, trying to get up on the mic. What you want to say? What you want to say, pussy? I don't know. Oh, and Flip is finally plugging himself in. Stick it in the hole, babe. Stick it in the hole. Oh, it's fine? Oh, I see. I see how it is. Testing, testing. I don't have ears. Hello. I don't know if both of them hear me. We'd have to plug in the ears. This is the most interesting podcast that there ever was. It's just me trying to stall. Alice in stall time. Tell me if this
works. Sorry, everybody out there. Little technical stuff. Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself? I don't hear you. Why don't I hear you?
Well,
it doesn't. There you go.
Hello, hello.
Now we hear you.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, so you were already talking about your weed job, honey?
Well, yeah, I was just saying I was just coming home from work, so it's, you know, I should at least make mention. It's an interesting thing to have under the belt.
Yes, Allison is, I'm sure, well, we've already talked about this on the air.
I think we just talked about the fact that I smoke. I don't think we've talked necessarily the fact that
no,
I work.
No, I think
maybe
we mentioned
you have.
It. That
I don't know.
Allison works at a medical marijuana dispensary out here in L.A., excuse me, where it is legal. Hey. I was about to go into my bit. But no, you know what? I was just going on like a little memory rant about... Oh, I shouldn't have said her name. I'll edit that out.
About...
What's that?
It's a little fuzzy in my ears. I don't know if that's just me.
No, that's me. I'm a little fuzzy in your ear.
Give me that little fuzzy.
You can't hear?
No, I can hear. It just sounds like it's coming in fuzzy.
Nah.
I don't know. Either regard. Right.
But yeah, I was talking about... I'm going to open the door. Get some air in here. I was just talking about that. Like, you had a... Because, like, the thing is, like, I was saying that me and this girl only dated 8 months, six of which were good. You had an epic, like, five-year relationship.
Mm-mm. Six.
6 year.
Between the ages of 15 and 21, I might add.
Oh, see, that's like, those are the like really impressionable years.
You're telling me.
How long did it truly take you to get over him?
Well, I mean, it was something that I had to just come to terms with because it was a situation where basically I was the one being broken up with. Like, there was... You know, there was this time where we were just going to say, let's slow down, let's be friends, blah, 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 blah.
He said it, or you said it?
Well, I mean, we both had started to say it because it was getting where, I don't know, things were getting busier. We weren't going to be able to see each other that often. But we also didn't plan to be high school sweethearts straight into marriage because that, to me, is, you know, I needed to sow a little oat action, you mm-hmm. know? He was when I was a baby, so... So it was kind of... It was... right? He needed a baby... I'm sorry. Okay, I was going to say something bad. But, yeah, the idea that I don't know, it happened where it wasn't my choice. I had to kind of get over it quicker than normal. But I understood it. I understood the reason. So it was easier. It didn't take, I don't know, I'd say probably halfway through my rebound relationship, I was over it.
Oh, while you were still going out with rebound guy, you were still holding a torch for first guy?
Well, I think that no matter what, your first love, you will never not love. I mean, it's basically you've created a bond in any sort of relationship. Like, you with your 8 month relationships, you still had a connection and a bond, regardless that it lasted only 8 months. It's still an 8 month connection and bond. You know, that stuff doesn't go away. Like, that won't go away. But being in love and being truly like. Wanting to delve fully into the relationship, you know, to be in a relationship like that, that's different. I think that can easily be gotten over when there's, you know, something different taking your eye away, you know, to a certain degree.
See, that's where you were lucky because you went right from 6 year to rebound.
Within 6 months.
Yeah. After 8 months for me, really there wasn't anyone till you.
Moogie.
Honestly, like somebody serious. Like, well, there were a couple people I was interested in, mm-hmm. like really, between 8 month and you, but those girls, like, it either wasn't reciprocated or those girls fucked me up too. But I never actually dated those girls. I fooled around with, you know, who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never had that luxury to kind of go into a rebound and use them to help diffuse that.
I have to be honest, though. I'll tell you that rebound did not necessarily mean to be a full relationship. Basically, it was one of these situations where, I mean, we're fucking open on this thing. Let me just say it. The first one was my first. The first big 6 year was my first. When I met the second guy, the rebound guy, when I gave it up a little too quick, I, in my mind, was like, oh my God, I don't want to be a whore. I don't want to have a one night stand. Let's make a relationship out of this.
So wait. You did rebound on the first date?
Not on the first date. Within like 3 dates, but to me that was like really quick, and
you
I was whore. Like what the
you
fuck am I doing
slut.
But you know, I was still kind of like in the hurting phase, and I wanted to feel pretty, you know. So and like, you know, once you start getting like sweet, especially if a girl's been like lacking for a little bit, it's hard to, that's why I always talk about my masturbate song. It has to do with like your self-control. So that you don't give it up too soon and be a freaking, you know, you want to like make him work for it. Well, he didn't have to work for it, and I didn't like that. So I thought, well, I've only had sex with one other person. I need to make sure that this person I've had sex with becomes something meaningful, because otherwise then I'm just horrible. I'm a horrible person. So like, but I mean, it was okay because we were still sort of interested in one another. It just, in the long term, in retrospect, was horrible. I mean, it was just, he wasn't the right person for me. He's a sweetheart and we're friends now, but just not good together. So, to answer that whole initial question, yeah, the getting over, it's easy when you realize that love can remain without being in love.
Oh, of course.
You can still have...
You could still have a
connection
feelings. And connection.
Bond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I realized that he needed to do his own thing, what was I going to do? Just sit and pine forever and go, well, I needed to do his own thing. No,
No, see, that's what I did.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. There's a very famous thing that says you can't heal your heart if you keep tearing up the sutures. So you can't keep tearing them out. You got to like let it heal. It's
well,
gonna
I
be
know hard. That now.
Oh, baby. Bleh.
At the time, it just took 6 years to get over. Oh. And I was just saying, I haven't heard from her in almost 2 years. Like, I think the last time I heard from her was a text like right after we got married, which was a year ago in July.
Yeah, a year
so it's
and
been
half
about
ago.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what's fun, because I was saying this before you came in, like I remember like back in the day, I couldn't imagine going a week without talking to her or hearing from her, let alone almost 2 years. But it's funny at just how time really does heal all the wounds.
Well, we do crazy things when we're in love too. Like when I first got broken up with by the 6 year, I literally wrote down every single time he called me, the date, the time, the length of the call, whether or not he called me, whether or not I called him, just so that I could look back and go, he still likes me. He still likes me a lot. Look
you
at
had
how many
charts?
Times he called. I swear I
you
had
charts. You had heart, like broken heart charts.
It was broken heart charts. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. After 6 years, when this person like raised you through your adolescence, I understood that we were going to take time apart no matter what. We understood that at 16, that, you know, that we weren't going to fucking go right into marriage just because we'd been together for a year or two. We wouldn't like go, ooh, it's before college, you know. Woo. No, it was... eventually, let's sow some oats and fucking have a real experience in this world. And
were you happy where your oats led you?
Oh, my oats led me to the best horse ever. I got the...
mine led me to the...
hung
led me
like
to
a
the
horse.
Best whore ever. Hello.
Out of all the whores you've had,
I've had my fair share. I was talking about this, too. Like, I've had my fair share of strippers. I've had strippers. I've had some one-night stands.
That's a whore with class. A whore with talent.
Yeah.
She dances.
You dance.
I know. Not well.
Not well, but you do. How long did we wait before we finally slept together? Like a month, wasn't it?
It was exactly 1 month. Yeah. I made sure. Because in my mind, I said that it can't be too soon. And it can't be too like late. And it's like prude, and I made him wait a whole month for everything.
No,
I
wanted, but see, I wanted
like,
to wait
dick
too.
Like a day. I don't know.
Were you?
Within like a week. I think within like with that first, because we didn't see each other every single day of that week. You went out of town.
Right.
We were talking on the phone every day.
Right.
But I think we got fancy.
We did.
Early.
Got fancy in my fancy.
Yes, we did.
But I wanted to wait too, because I had rushed into sex too many times. And I really wanted to, I knew when we met it was something special.
Do you remember the day?
That we met?
Well, do you remember the day? I can remember, I know exactly the day that we first had sex because it was exactly 1 month from our first date.
So then the date would be March 15th.
Be still my heart, everybody. This fucking guy is like the one guy on the planet who remembers weird dates. And we that's exactly right, because we had our first date the day after Valentine's Day. It was mm-hmm. February 15th. Because we met on February 11th. And yeah, it was one month to the day.
March 15th.
I like almost planned it. I fucking set up the room with the lights and everything. I had the whore bacon.
This was so smooth. I walk. We're in her apartment, which we are in right now. I moved in with her. And we go into her bedroom, and she's got these blue twinkle lights all aglow around the room. And I remember she put on Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the best sex music ever,
dude. It was very
dude.
Good sex music. And then I'll never forget, this was, I think, the funniest thing. You lie down in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, okay. I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, I think I have a condom in my wallet. And then all of a sudden, she like pulled out this like treasure box of condoms, and I look at her
like, "Welcome to my boudoir."
and I look at her, and I go, "Oh," and I was saying, "Oh, like, oh, you have a box of condoms already by your bed," and she thought I meant, "Oh, you don't want to use a condom." So she looked at me, and she literally goes, "All right," and throws a condom away, like, "Let's go raw dog." And I'm like, "No, I want to use one." I was just very shocked or impressed that you had him right there at the ready.
I like I said, I set up, I knew that you were going to come over, and I knew that in my mind, I was like, okay, it's been a month. We're cool. This is the month point. We're goods. I could totally give it up and not feel hoary. I'd like to let everybody know out there that if you want to please a man and you actually want him to stay the night, get yourself some casual sex bacon. Now, I'll tell you why that's important. I always have eggs because you never know when you need an egg. Okay, and I always like to make scrambles.
You talking about the ones in your body or the ones in the fridge?
Ew.
What was that?
Wait till I scramble you some of my ovaries.
That was like a slow Jew, like, ugh.
Yes, that's what I do to you now when you say stupid things. I love you. I was going to say, I always have eggs, and, you know, I don't constantly need to have bacon for myself, but I know that a man loves eggs and bakey in the morning, so you get the bacon. And you prepare it ready to dazzle your guy first thing. And be like,
did
yes.
Did we talk about this on another show? I feel like this was talked about on another show. You mentioned the whore bacon.
I think whore bacon is important to talk about multiple times. Whore bacon is where it's at. No, I mean, think about
this.
Now,
could it be turkey bacon or does it have to be bacon?
I think it's whatever floats the boat. But I would say to start off a relationship with regular bacon, you don't want to fuck with anybody and seem like you're great. Like, I need turkey bacon. I don't do the pork.
Well, what if I like turkey bacon?
See, if you like turkey bacon, I'll have to find that out next time because you'll have to tell me. You'll be like, ooh, thanks for the bacon. You know, hey, you ever like turkey bacon? And I'll totally take the hint. Bam. But I'll tell you, was it not? Okay. The setup, the music, the sex.
It was smooth.
And then you sleep over and then I fucking wake up early and make you brekkie. Come on.
It was, you were. I can only think of one other girlfriend that I ever had that actually made me food. I could really only think of one. Off the top of my head. There might have been more, but I can only think of one off the top of my head. But no girl... See, here's the thing. With the exception of when I was in college, and I had, we'll call her college girlfriend, no girlfriend ever spent the night. 8 months, never spent the night. College girl only because I was in a dorm. But nobody else ever spent, what we call her, psycho piano girl.
Okay.
She did spend the night, but we weren't dating and we didn't sleep together. So she literally just slept, we slept in a bed together.
Gotcha.
So like no girlfriend ever spent the night, and then let alone no girl ever made me breakfast. That's how I knew you were so.
That's why I got that bacon, bitch.
Let me tell you something. And I don't want this to be like, I don't want this whole podcast to be how wonderful you are.
Oh, stop it, Mickey.
No, but I'm just, this will be the last compliment I give you until something else comes up that I have to compliment you on. But like everybody who meets Allison, they don't believe that her goodness is real. Because if you've ever met Allison, you know that she is like a sprite. She is like this this glowing orb of just positivity.
Oh, man.
And I don't have to kiss your ass or anything. You're my wife already. I've won.
I know. I've already.
But it's true. Like everybody says that about her, and most of the time they're like, it can't be real. And I thought that too when I met her. I'm like, this, because the first time I came over here, I remember I brought you flowers, and you were shocked that I brought you flowers.
Because like, what the fuck? This guy actually does things from movies. Nobody does things for movies.
I made you a DeLorean, didn't I?
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Went back and almost stopped my parents from meeting. but no, I bring her, and she's cooking dinner. Like, she is cooking me dinner. Yeah. I'm like, this is, oh, it's a first date. That's
why.
It's a
spaghetti?
First date.
That's the barbecue spaghetti.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a first date. But then the next time we get together, she's cooking. I'm like, wait, she does this? But she's cooked. She's actually.
It wasn't just a one-time thing.
She wants to take care.
Yeah,
she wants to take care of me.
I like doing that.
But it was so sweet, and I'd never met a girl like that had ever done anything like that for me. So
I mean, every woman should know that a way to a man's heart, besides his penis, is through his stomach. So you've got to make sure to
it's
keep
easier
both,
through the stomach, though.
I was going
to
say both things you got to keep in check. Through the,
see, so my problem, and I was talking about this before you came in, it's just like, I went with my cock. I mean, not that the girls that I dated weren't nice initially, and I really did have a connection with them. But when it was ending, I didn't want to give it up because my dick was like, "You're having sex, and these girls are hot, and da, 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 you're never gonna, you know, this is it. If you screw this up and she leaves, you're never gonna find anyone like her," and blah blah blah.
Bullshit.
Of course, it's bullshit. I know that now, but at the time, it just seemed so like impossible. You know?
Yeah.
But now we got each other.
Oh, man, I love you so much.
I love
you're
you
so
too.
Wonderful. This is a big fucking jerk off fest
this
right now.
This really is. This really. So how was work today? How was the pot store, honey? Give me let's cuz I was bitching that I have nothing to talk about. I'm telling people, please email flip@flipschultz.com or flipschultz@AOL.com. Yes, I still have AOL. Send me an email with topics that you want to hear about or a question from me. Just something, so it doesn't always turn into this mutual jerk off fest with me and my wife.
You're great. No, you're great. No,
you're the best thing ever.
Oh, I love you, Mimi.
Let me talk about shit I hate about you.
Yeah, let's okay, just let's turn do
this,
that.
Let's
oh
just
my God.
Turn this around.
All right, so he never fucking puts the toilet seat down. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I always
actually he never really does. So that's not really
what?
See the cliche things can keep coming. Oh, every time I go in there, I gotta put the seat down for shizzle.
Not all the time.
Pretty much.
No, I remember most of the time.
But it's funny. It's like the cliche things. He complains about all the cliche things that women are told that they are said to be doing from a comics point of view. And he didn't believe they were real until he met me. Well, I didn't, you know that a man never puts a toilet seat down or puts the cap back on the toothpaste. No, you put the cap on the toothpaste.
Well, I don't have to worry about that now.
I know. He's got this new toothpaste dilly. Where oh, all
don't,
he
don't.
Has to
Let's not get into our household appliances now.
Let me tell you about our toaster.
No, you
it's
know what,
so nice.
You know what pissed me off about you in the bathroom?
You know what? When I wash my face, I splash water. I don't know how. I don't know why. I can't control it.
You don't know how you splash water? Because you splash it.
No, but like, I put it on my face, and I guess that I put it with too much force
you
or something?
You literally, you have your face over the sink, and the water is running, and you put it in your hand, and you literally, like palm fuck your face.
Nobody cares.
Well, you know what? I want to bitch about this. Just watch how you put the water down. That's
oh,
all.
Oh, my goodness.
So how was work?
Work was good. Work was good. I feel I'm getting back in the groove of things. It's wonderful because I know a lot of times when I'm helping a lot of people, like truly, truly helping. And a woman came in today who has a similar problem to me. She came in with a back brace and everything. And I don't know, when you look somebody in the eye and you go, look, I'm not just here to, you know, treat you like a number or anything. I'm here to like talk to you about what your situation is. And I really want to like help. I don't know. It's real rewarding. And after a little bit of time where I kind of didn't feel like I was, it's hard when you don't do anything with yourself. I've had this back problem. I wasn't able to do anything. And you kind of feel a little worthless. So I'm back in the groove of worth, man. Feels good.
I like that you're feeling worth.
I love that. You're
don't,
Fort
it's not,
Worth.
It's not a kiss ass thing again.
I was going to say Fort Worth. I don't know. I was going to make some stupid
Fort
joke.
Fort Worth.
Yeah. Am I talking too close? Is it too loud? I don't talk like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, pretend it's like my penis
talk
and
like
just
this.
Keep it as far. Keep it as far away from your face as you can.
It's horrible.
I know. Because I've been to your work before, and everybody there. It's, by the way, if anybody's in the LA area, it's Daddy's Pipes and Collectives in Sherman Oaks. Go and ask for Allison.
Of Ventura and Van Nuys Boulevard.
There you go. I've been to your work several times. I know like the core group of people that work there, and and I've seen you interact and everything. Of all of the patients that come in, what would you say is the ratio that really need it and that just like it?
Well, it's hard to say because, I mean, everybody really needs it in their own way. And even like a person who would be perceived as like a pothead probably has, I mean, if you think about it, every one of us sometimes has the inability to sleep or sometimes gets anxious because of a certain situation or whatnot.
Right.
And just like any of those situations, you would say to yourself, well, I could really use a drink to calm me down. Well, a drink actually does way, way worse things to you than the pot would. So, I mean, if I were to say a ratio of who need it for super serious reasons, maybe that's like an easier way to make it. I don't know. It's probably 50-50.
Oh, really?
And the people that don't seriously for like serious problems need it, they still have some sort of a head situation that needs it. Like they have anxiety or social disorders, you know, because of that.
See, I would think pot would any... Like for me... Like I do have, and if anybody's seen my act, you've heard of this. I have a prescription. It's for anxiety. It just helps me sleep. It really does because my brain is constantly going.
See, that's what most people have. Mm.
But I would think like social disorder, marijuana would make you even like I would think it amplifies whatever like issues you're having. Like if it makes you, if you're a shy person, it would make you even shyer. I don't know.
No, if you think about it like this, okay, you know how a person who has attention deficit disorder with like a hyperactive aspect that they give them
no idea what you're talking. Ooh, blue.
Yeah, nice. Sure. No, but specifically like hyperactive disorder, and they give you Ritalin for it. If you know what Ritalin is, it's actually speed. So wait a second, you're telling me you're giving speed to somebody who's hyper? Well, yes. What happens is it counteracts the speediness within you. It almost just creates
so it's like two positives make a negative kind of thing.
Or two negatives make
a positive.
They cancel each other out. It's almost like that. So, for instance, if you have, like, let's say pot maybe on the whole, for a lot of people, might make them more paranoid. Or you would think that it would make you more paranoid. A person who's already paranoid will smoke it and it will counteract it. You see what I'm saying?
Weird.
It's the same thing with, I'm a little hyper. And if I smoke certain strains of pot that are for energy, specifically for energy, I will take a nap. Like, I swear to God, those will be the things that will relax me fully because it's almost working with my chemicals to counteract my feelings. So it's very crazy. I don't know. I'm just going to talk. If you open this door, I know.
Let's actually, you know what? I meant to go back to something that I mentioned before you even came in here. I wanted to, because I talked about how we were in New York last week, and I was actually there for the Andy Kaufman Award.
Yay!
For those who don't know, I'll give you a little quick little backstory. Of course, if you don't know who Andy Kaufman is, Google him. He was a very, very well-known comedian / actor from the late 70s, early 80s, who passed away from cancer. And he wasn't so much of a regular comedian. He was more of a performance artist kind of thing. I really respected him, and I loved his work. And he also had an alter ego named Tony Clifton.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an alter ego, you might have heard of him, named Skippy Green. And so I decided to just submit Skippy Green to this contest. Long story short, I ended up getting into it as a semifinalist. So we flew out to New York to perform at Gotham Comedy Club. And I did not make it into the finals, or Skippy did not make it into the finals, and I was really pissed. I'll be honest. Like, if anybody from the contest is listening, I'm just going to be honest here. It was more disappointment than pissed, I guess. Just the piss came from, like, fuck, I paid all this money to fly myself and Allison out to New York, and didn't even get to the goddamn finals. Fuck, this sucks, you know. The disappointment was more... I think stronger, though, because I really, really thought I had a shot at this, you know, because I thought Skippy was, you know, representing that side of Kaufman. As a matter of fact, before the show, I was talking to the guy who runs the competition, who was a friend of Andy's, and I actually met Andy's brother and sister, who are very cool, and it was actually a real thrill to meet them both, because I knew a lot about them through the history of Andy Kaufman. And initially, the contest, you're not supposed to be dirty at all. And if you know Skippy, you know that that's not possible. But they said that they allowed Skippy in as a semifinalist specifically, as I said, because he represented that part of Andy's career, that Tony Clifton part, that alter ego, filthy, you know, upsetting, not annoying, what's the word, offending kind of people. And so I did my show, and safe to say half the crowd got it, the other half didn't.
Yeah, maybe.
50-50, maybe even 60-40, 40 got it, 60 didn't.
Yeah.
Which is a big gap, excuse me, in a comedy competition. But from what I understood from everyone who was watching, including Allison and some of our friends,
people were laughing.
People were enjoying it. And based on other reaction that some really some other performers got who were very good, they said, you got as much reaction as they did.
Absolutely.
You're a shoo-in to move on. And some people, and we weren't allowed to watch the other competitors. So from what I understood, some other people just ate it, tanked it, did not get any reaction. And then when they announced who won, who got passed through, most of the people who didn't get any reaction were passed. And I understand that Andy Kaufman, you know, he wasn't looking, he wasn't always going for the laughs. He was trying to be original. And I get that. But I still thought Skippy was original enough, even if he was dirty, original enough to at least get into the final. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, this is just a venting session now. But I did, and again, don't get me wrong, I was really honored to be even have made it that far. And that's kind of, in retrospect, what I'm saying is that I was happy to have been a part of it, but there's still that, oh, that disappointment, you know? But New York was fun. And we did,
was awesome.
We did have some interesting experiences in New York as well.
Very interesting. Yeah. But,
no, we stayed with my cousins, who, if they're listening to, were incredibly gracious hosts.
Oh, my goodness. So you wonderful. Know, it's really, nice to meet them.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure anybody listening out there has big families. I only have really one brother, and I have a shitload of cousins. I have 13 first cousins, 10 of which are married with children, at least one child of their own. So that's an abundant amount of cousins, just first cousins, and they're what would you call it? Their own families with spouses and children.
Yeah.
But then I'm actually really close with some of my second cousins, like my parents' first cousins, including who he stayed with, who's actually, I think, my second cousin once removed or something weird like that. And it's just so good. Feels so good to have that, even an extended family, to have that kind of relationship with a couple of members like that. And it makes you feel, like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, it makes you feel thankful for what you have, you know? And Allison, I'm about to do a kiss-ass thing with you again. But it's cool because when you marry somebody, you hope they get along with your family. And not only does Allison fit in with my parents and my brother, my cousins, and they all love her. God damn it, I'm lucky.
Aww,
okay,
baby.
Stop it. Now people are, this is going to be the worst.
I know, people are going to be like,
Flip,
this is
we
annoying.
Get it. You love your wife. Shut the fuck up and be funny.
I love you, babe. Okay, so hey, you right in your butt.
Honey, you want to sing a song?
Do you want to sing a song?
You want to sing one of your songs?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, why not? Let's do something fun.
Okay.
We only got maybe 10 more minutes to fill here.
Yeah,
I don't say fill,
sing?
But at least 10 more minutes of talking. You
want
to get out your guitar?
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Yeah, grab your guitar. Hold
well,
on.
I'm.
We got a mic stand right back here.
Hold on. I got to take all this stuff off.
Yeah, just take off. Oh, shit. We're setting up Allison, because if any of you have, you've listened to the podcast, you know who Allison is. And you might not know that she also is a comic. That's actually how we met. But if you've never seen or been to her website, she does very funny parody songs. And I'm like, you know what? This girl's pretty cool. So I'm just going to give her a little chance to shine, to do something fun here. Well, no, you're sweet. Oh, stop it.
We're
stop
so
kissing
disgusting.
Ass.
Disgusting. Freaking disgusting. We are disgusting. Yes. Wait, how do I do this? Hold on, I got to move this up a little higher.
There you go.
I'm going to take requests then.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me first play the guitar, make sure we can hear it.
Do you want to put your mic to
this? No, I think that... That's loud. I think we can hear it. All right, why don't you...
Do you want me to put this a little... I don't know, you just get close so it can pick up... You just get
close
so it can pick up.
I'll stand here and I'll pick up the mic. So, honey, why don't you...
You tell me what you want.
Do your first song.
Okay. Well, I just first off want to say, like, ladies... We all share something. It's okay. We all are into our appearances. We're concerned always that we look our best. But I realize that we kind of need to figure out what our guys or our significant others are into style-wise before we start changing our appearances. So I wrote a song, and we'll just call this one for the boys. Hey, boys, which way is best to go when it comes to trimming down below? I could make it into a design, or I could do a simple line, but I'm confused, I do not know. Should I shave or let it grow? When I have a bush, the boys will tease. They say, are you from the 70s? But when I go clean and have no hair, I give the guys a jailbait scare. So will you men please let me know, should I shave or let it grow? Should I shave or let it grow now? Shave or let it grow? Should I go bald or with a fro now? Go bald or with a fro? With less hair you'll have less trouble, although I'm sorry for the stubble. Ladies, be sure to ask your beau, should you shave or let it grow? Chop, chop, chop.
Yay! Does it feel weird doing this in the middle of the living room?
It is feel a little strange. And like knowing that people will actually be listening to this and not just staring off into nothingness.
I know. I know. Okay, do the... This is a song Allison recently wrote. It's
you
a newer
that one?
One. Yeah, it's a newer one. But who's this song about?
Do you want me to tell truthfully?
Yeah.
Well, let me just say that...
don't do the bit leading into it. Just tell.
No, I know. I just want to say that Flip is super sweet and super sexy. There are times though when he is trying to be like extra sexy and really give me these eyes, like he wants to like ravage me or whatever. Oh God, he's doing it right now. It is so not sexy. It's fucking scary.
Really scary?
It's just not. I don't even want to say the word because I'm gonna tip the bit. Bam. But it's serious. It's so like awkward. Like, I love you, but like the look does not look real. It looks like you're putting it on. So it looks like you're just acting. I don't know. It's just, once you hear the words to my song, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Just guys, be careful. You're not too intense. That's all.
Sorry.
This is kind of what happened to me. One night when I got home, my man, he had a surprise. A bra and matching thong that he wanted me to try. He wasn't turning me on, though. He more like turned me to fright. He stared so psycho. He had creepy rapist eyes. He looked cheesy and so sleazy. Looked like he might spread diseases. He's atrocious when he looks deep in my eyes with so much focus. Insert creepy look here.
Yeah.
So I told him, if you want a girl to open her thighs, don't use your creepy rapist eyes. It's way too new. I don't know how to play it yet.
Yay.
Yay, babe. But that's the thing. He looks fucking creepy. And he has got this rapey eye. He's got rapey eyes.
Dude, show me what rapey eyes are.
Like it's just this like look. He's like, he raises an eyebrow first of all, which is already creepy enough. Yes, exactly. It already looks like the devil. The devil's gonna come up and rip out your soul with his eyebrow. He's got also the mustache and the goatee, so it's extra devil-y. But then he's got this glimmer in his eye, like he does want to ravage you, and. Just, I feel
but isn't
like
that
I,
hot? Don't women want that? They want that guy to just ravage him. Just, hey.
Yeah, but it has to, like, I feel like it has got to come a little bit more naturally. It feels like this is the look that you think that needs to be made so that you make the look. And then I'm like,
maybe I'm just a rapist. Maybe that's who I am.
I think that's
down.
It.
Maybe that's the look. I'm always giving that look.
Let me tell you the perfect recipe for the look, guys. The perfect recipe is 3/4 smooth and sexy, suave. Okay. And 1/4 soft and sweet. Dash of rape. Baby dash of rape.
Just a hint of rape.
The kind that might pull your hair, slap your ass, you know. Not anything crazy.
Okay.
Not anything down in the basement kind
of
shit.
Do we have a safety word in case it gets too weird?
I don't know.
Should we?
Transformers!
I like how Skippy is now brought in. She had a threesome with one guy.
Oh my God.
Threesome.
Gotcha.
One guy. Okay, maybe.
I see.
Okay. Do one more song.
Should I do
No, actually, no, because... You can go to Allison's website, by the way, AllisonComedy.com.
Yeah, but there's such old videos. I got to add a new video.
We'll working on newer videos, DirtyGuitarGirl.com. And you could see all of her classics, even if they're a couple years old. She does them better now, but you get the gist of them.
If you go to the video that says best of in Arizona, in Scottsdale, Arizona, mm-hmm. that's the best. That's the hit list.
Okay. This is one that I don't think it's on your website, and it honestly, it's one of my. I still think it's such a great song, and it never gets the reaction it should get. It will, I know it will, but at the.
Okay. Yeah. This is a newer one too.
This
Jesus.
Well, because your greatest hits are fine, but it's like you seeing me do my act. You've seen it. So new jokes. You're like, oh, this is
new. I
want
to hear this new one again. Yeah,
so,
you know, I'm right there with
this
you.
This is why I like hearing your newer stuff. So I know you don't know it as well as the greatest hits.
But I'll try to pull it off.
Yeah,
basically, just the way, because I feel like I got to preface it.
I don't think you need to preface it.
I want to preface it. All I need to say is just a quick thing. Guys, you all want this to happen. Girls, we won't let it happen because boys don't know what they're doing. So, boys, listen to the words of my song and maybe it'll happen more. Hey, it is your birthday. So then I said, okay, but you gotta take it easy so that you don't make me sore. First tickle the outside before you go for the ride. Soon, 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 you'll be up my back door. Please don't try to shove it. Do it slow and I will love it. A little bit by little bit and then a little more. When it's lubricated, the less that I will hate it. Soon, 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 you'll be up my back door. You always try it way too fast. That won't make me a fan. It's not an area that I'm accustomed to. Ooh, ooh, ooh. If you first please use a digit, I'll be less likely to fidget. Soon, 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 you'll be up my back door. In a bit, switch to your dick, speed up when you know you can. I know to most that this whole topic is taboo. Gotta be honest. But I will have my best orgasm when he's deep inside my chasm. When he's ooh, 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 up inside my back door.
Yay! My wife and the anal sex song.
Oh, yay! All the favorite things he loves. His creepy rapist eyes, the fact that I shave, and the fact that I will be willing to take it out the back door if you do it slow.
I will remember that.
Yep.
Remember that, all the guys out there. And I think we can't follow the back door song, so I think we're going to call
it... Well, what about Skippy? What about my 10 words?
What about
where's my 10 words?
You want to do Skippy?
I want to try to do my 10 right. words. I'm going to fucking fail miserably. I've watched everybody do 10 words and it's retarded.
All right.
How hard it is to do. Hold on.
All right, folks. So before the last part of the show, just remember, first of all, again, I am giving thanks to all of you who listen and subscribe to this podcast. And a very special thanks to my friends up in Calgary who came to the show. It's very cool. Forgive me, guys, for not remembering your names offhand, but my friends up in Calgary who did come to the show, thank you very much, especially my buddy who agreed with me on the roasts, how they suck nowadays compared to how they used to be. And so, again, thank you all.
Thank
for
you.
Being,
oh, my God. And have this happiest,
for being safe, a friend.
Happiest, safest holiday week and the start of your holiday season. I'm sending all good vibes and happy things to everybody.
There you go. And remember, guys, starting next Wednesday, Unless you hear otherwise, What's for Dinner will now be on the GoCast Network Wednesdays, 2 o'clock, live.
Wait, real quick, when is this up going?
This will be going up this week.
Not next Wednesday. We might have to put that off.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Next Wednesday is officially.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. We'll cut this all out.
No. Folks, without going into detail, there's something that happened recently. And, okay, Wednesday. Okay, so.
I'm sorry.
No. Don't apologize. It's not
But
your
it could
fault.
Be the following Wednesday. Keep in touch with us.
Keep in touch. Will... So I take that back. Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, he'll have to take a family.
Next Wednesday, there still might be a podcast on the GoCast Network, but it will be most likely pre-recorded and not live.
Yeah.
But starting very soon on the GoCast Network on Wednesdays at 2 o'clock, you can see What's for Dinner live video. You can call in. It'll be great. And again, if you guys are going to be in Florida in December, the week of December 20th, I will be in Sarasota at McCurdy's Comedy Club. The weekend of the 27th, 28th, and 29th, I'll be at the Atlanta Punchline. That's the Punchline in Atlanta, Georgia. And New Year's Eve, Allison and Skippy Green will be at Tootsie's Nightclub and Cabaret in Miami. All wonderful, fun shows. So check that out. Always remember flipisfunny.com, Facebook, Flip Schultz 2, Twitter at Flip Schultz. You can get all that at flipisfunny.com. And to close out this very special Thanksgiving episode, here's a little something called the Skippy Green Show.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Well, Mickey Rose, how are you?
Skippy, my old friend.
Allison, my old meat Ziploc. All right.
She's ready for you.
You know the rules.
I do.
Answer the following question in 10 words exactly.
Ooh, okay.
Not 11, not 9, 10 words exactly. You ready?
Let's try it.
What are you most thankful for sexually? Anytime, really.
I'm thankful for my large clit that hangs 7 inches.
That's news to me. I always measured it at 9.
And I meant that by Flip's dick. That's what I'm...
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy your 7-inch clit. Bye.
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.